phrase I put on the end of an email earlier, and I felt so prophetically charged and image-filled. I thought, wow, I want that for everybody here. So this is my dream for Jubilee. This is my dream for me and for all of us. And it's just simply that this year, Jesus would shine brilliantly through us, through you. Shine brilliantly. And that we would fly without airplanes. We would fly without the help of the physical discoveries of man, and we'd fly in the unconditional realms of the supernatural, places that had been prepared for us. And it came out of actually a vision I had last in October 2012, and I wrote it in the introduction of the book, and I'm just going to go ahead now that I've just shared that. I think I can do it quicker if I just read the introduction. It says, near the time of the completion of the book, I experienced two visions exactly a week apart from each other. In the first, I saw myself in a little Cessna airplane taking off from a runway in Alaska. The scenery was rural and beautiful. Appearing before me as I lifted off the runway was a massive storm, dark and dangerous, menacing. The storm was right in my path. Standing between me and the mountain range, I had to fly over. However, I knew this flight was important. I was headed to my wedding. I was the bride. So I understood this to be our heavenly wedding. But seeing the threatening storm, I thought, I need to land this plane and let the storm pass. Immediately, I saw the Lord was sitting beside me. And then as he spoke, he was inside of me. "Do not turn back," he said. "You are to fly through this storm. I will guide you. I will protect you. Stay in contact with headquarters and listen to the Holy Spirit." With that, the vision ended. For the next several days, I sought to understand how to fly into and through storms, recalling that instrument-rated pilots are those who can fly without the benefit of natural sight. I asked the Lord, what instruments we need in order to see in the dark? He showed me six instruments: praise, prayer, presence, promise, power, and purity, would keep us in perfect peace when practiced. The next Sunday, I entered into the second vision. I was in the same storm, being tossed now to and fro, just as you might imagine a little bitty plane. I would suddenly lose altitude and then get thrust skyward. Even though my plane was being bounced around, I kept practicing his presence and holding my faith. I kept observing the instruments. As I did that, from within me, a high pressure system developed. Don't ask me how that works, but weather buffs know that storms dissipate when high pressure systems replace low pressure systems in our atmosphere. As my high pressure system grew, the sky turned blue around me. The turbulence stopped, and I was flying in my own internal weather system, one that was coming from inside me. What happened next was the strangest and the most wonderful part of the vision. Earlier in the week, I had wondered, why a Cessna? I had seen myself years before flying fighter jets like the F-16, but now my vehicle had been reduced to a Cessna. Well, in the second vision, as the high-pressure system came out of me and the storm was displaced, the airplane began to break apart. This was not scary, but liberating. It was fun. I was flying. The airplane, the vehicle, was no longer necessary, and I was flying through blue skies with my Lord to our wedding. I believe these visions best describe both the warfare against our destinies and the means by which we will ultimately prevail as the accuser of the brethren is cast down and our identity in Christ is settled. You and I have been called to a wedding. Nothing will prevent the Lord from our success. Even though our outward man may be perishing, going from an F-16 to a Cessna, our inward man is being renewed daily. One day we will fly and be with the Lord in the air. Yeah, so the dream, if it's your, if it be your dream, it's my dream for you and for me, is that Jesus will shine brilliantly, that Christ in us, the hope of glory, would begin to come forth fully from us, affecting as far as he would have it reach, to we are displacing darkness rather than being impinged upon by darkness, and that we could fly without airplanes. And I'm on the first standby list for translation, trust me. I've always think about that. Wouldn't it be easier, Dad, if we could just arrive in Thailand? You know that song we just read, saying, was written in Pattaya, Thailand, where Randy and Edie Nelson have a ministry, which is, you know, a sex trade capital, unfortunately. And in the midst of that, we've been there many times. In fact, Randy will be with us in the middle of about 3 Wednesdays away, sharing a day with us. It's going to be strong and powerful. But in that setting, the Lord birthed that kind of a song. Because the love that God, we were created for love, and we were redeemed because of love. We were created to be loved, and then everything went wrong. And then God said, I don't care that everything went wrong. I'm going to redeem you out of love. And now you'll know my love even beyond creation. You know, we can talk about, I want to be restored to creation's original intent. And I think that would be wonderful, but I actually want to be brought into redemption's glory. Redemption is a greater place than creation, for it took the fallenness of creation and reconstituted it, recreated it into a realm of grace and redemption. And that's where we're headed. That's that place we're leaning into and pressing into. And it was, when launched in the book of Acts, it has not, it may look like it's receding, but it's never receding, because Christ is triumphant, and we are a bride that's being moved in a triumphant procession. Last year we came out with, during the Feast of Tabernacles in September, the Lord speaking about his invasion, that he had set him a course now to invade our reality. And since then, I have been fully aware that the direction of heaven in my life has changed. Now, the vision that I had 15 months ago that I just read has come to pass exactly as I saw it, to the point of flying, knocking around sideways, up and down, and learning that in by maintaining an alertness to my instruments, keeping my instruments, letting my instruments guide me, not the storm direct me, I've been able to continue to fly forward. See, the first thing about that I continually return to is praise. Praise is your altitude reader. Praise lifts you up and brings you higher toward heaven. It gets you out of the turbulence many times. It can lift you above, like we can on a 35,000 height flight in an air jet, can be way over storms and not be uninterrupted. It lifts you up. Praise is your altitude reader. But then power is your fuel gauge. Without the power of God, we can do nothing. We will all putter and sputter out. And we drive with instruments, but most of the two main ones we use is our speedometer and our gas gauge. We use our gas gauge. We're very alert when it's starting to get down, and we have to start making plans. Well, that is supply of the Holy Spirit. That's like your fuel. Holy Spirit is the one who, according to the riches of his glory, by his Spirit, will strengthen us with might in our inner man. So it's an awareness. Whoa, I need that. I need Holy Spirit. I need surge. I need power. Prayer is our radio, our talking to the tower, to communicate to the ground, to, in this case, communicate to heaven. Because prayer is the way we process, we communicate, we share, and we keep things immediately current. God is so jealous of having a vibrant, redeemed relationship that he has designed us to never last long on a revelation without it being brought back into the presence and heard again. Faith is now, not yesterday, and it isn't tomorrow. Tomorrow is hope. Yesterday is past, faith is now. So faith has to continually rehear, you know, the communication. And presence is the atmosphere. It's like, you know, if you are in 35,000 feet in a jet and all of a sudden they lose the ability to create the atmosphere at that was equivalent to being 100 feet above sea level, you would immediately freeze and find no oxygen. That's why the little mask will drop out if that happens, because the oxygen is way too thin, and it's usually, if you look on those maps when you're flying overseas, you're 100 degrees below zero. It's just freezing up there. So the presence of God allows the atmosphere of heaven, to which we were born into. We are living still on planet Earth, but we now live from the atmosphere of heaven. Heaven is our life source. And so we try to live from the past, where we were just earth creatures, just living souls, but dead in our spirit. We weren't made to, there's no life sustaining, it gets worse. So when we're in prayer and presence, we begin to have good communication and we have a sense of his atmosphere. And I was sharing with a young girl just after service, I gave her my book, and I was saying, every day you want to pray and ask God's kingdom to come. And his kingdom comes with righteousness, peace, and joy. Because righteousness, you will feel it's all right. So I always pray until I feel it's all right. That's one of my goals. Is I haven't hit the kingdom until I'm becoming cognitively aware, internally, it's all right. I'm not processing how to fix my problem, because that I gave up a long time ago. It's too complicated. I'm just getting to the point where I feel heaven's attitude toward my life. And it's all right, Steve. That's righteousness. It's all right. Peace is you're safe. You know how it feels when you feel safe? It's all well. It's in place. You're okay. That feeling can actually come into your life when nothing is going right and all circumstances are going crazy. That's the atmosphere of heaven. Heaven is never in an emergency. Heaven is never in a panic. Heaven is never overwhelmed by anything we did or don't do. It's just constant in Christ. It's just totally aware of the finished work of Jesus. It's just glassy seas while the voice of God thunders and lets out brilliant light like a rainbow, and sounds just fill the atmosphere and thunders and lightnings, and yet glassy sea. Even the sea mingled with fire after the testings is still glassy. So if you can find his presence, you're okay. You're safe. You'll breathe. You'll live. You can keep flying. Then the last two, which are promise, that's like your compass. That's your directional map. That's how you can know where you're going. Your promise is where you're going. Your promise is where you're going. You may right now feel like you're going in opposite direction, but God doesn't see it from the natural or the temporal or the moment. He sees it from his eternity. And ever God utters a promise, it is to be fulfilled and is fulfilled already in God and only has to unfold. It becomes to us a pilgrimage. It's a city we're seeking whose foundation and builder is God. But to God, it's a more real city than the natural city that you live from. And with that promise comes purity, because he who has a hope in Christ purifies himself even as Christ is pure. And that isn't the touch not, taste not, handle not idea of morality as much as it is about purify your hearts, you double-minded. When we get duplistic, we're kind of flying and keeping one foot on earth and one hand toward God and one hand toward this. That double-mindedness makes us unstable, and it's impossible there to receive anything from God. So we have to let go and fully lean into and give over to the outcome is in the hands of the Lord, which is where you face the fear of death. Control is always to protect yourself from dying, or control somebody else to protect you from dying. But it's a control mechanism. And the whatever, I'm not afraid to die, fear, no, you know, not loving my life to death, is like, well, here we go. And for me, in that vision 15 months ago, that so changed, most impacted me, because all those are truths that we all know. But what impacted me was this direction of heaven when Jesus was standing next, sitting next to me and seeing in me, sitting then inside of me and saying, fly through the storm. Don't turn back. Don't avoid the conflict. Go through it. And I have found over and over again, day after day, week after week, that's what prayer is for me, in a very real sense, calibrating all of those instruments so that I'm flying as stable as I can inside, that when they're in sync, I lean and I go, let's go. Let's go. I don't care if I die. Let's go. I'm not afraid to die. Let's go. I have no control over this storm. I don't care. The storm isn't what I'm trying to change. Just go. And what happens is that all that has been true, and too true to too many of you. I know you. I've heard your stories. We've lived our life for 15 months together. We have had some real, real storms hit people. And yet we've been intentionally flying. So when the Lord said, I'm invading your reality during the feast this year, I understood and began to really take hope of, okay, so now we're about to shift this to change the storm issue. And that's where the atmosphere starts to change. And the atmosphere, you can tell the atmosphere is changing, going to change around you when you first are no longer changed by the atmosphere around you. The first sign of the inner man rising up and the high pressure system of Christ in you starting to take over the situation is that you are not losing your peace in circumstances. You always lost your peace. You're not falling apart where you normally fell apart. You're not overreacting. You're not doing this. You're just kind of like, wow, that sucks. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. But nothing else has changed. But I'm doing good. And you have a, you're living in that praise and power and prayer and presence and promise and purity. And you're just flowing and you just, the after a season, that will break the other, it'll expand and it'll start influencing other people. That's what Charles Finney walking down railroad car and somebody passing by falls on his knees and says, man, you convict me of my sin. Or somebody comes into your office that's just overwhelmed in their work situation, and all of a sudden, in your office, the idea comes. Clarity comes. That's evangelism. That's the year of the evangelist that we want to celebrate. It's the good news that shifts mindsets to repent different and think differently. And it's on us, and you're just leaning into it. And so I believe that we are in this invasion. Armies of heaven are being stationed. Angelic forces are coming. Shifts are taking place. The evangelist is celebrated because the good news shifts our thinking. We have to have goodness of God to repent. You can't repent without goodness. Severity of God does not necessarily lead you to repentance. It usually just leads you to go like this even harder. So there's a strategy of heaven, which is to brilliantly shine Jesus Christ through the earth. That will cause a massive introduction to new thought when he can flow through us like that. But the other thing is the sword of the Spirit, that word of God that we talked about last week, that we're going to hold the word of God with like, okay, this is the final say over this situation. I may not even come out with my life looking like the final say, but it's still the final say. If the Bible says I am healed, then I am healed, though I am now succumbing and fighting for my life in this sickness, I'm still healed. And I'm not trying to fix the thing. I'm just not going to disagree with my Father. My Father's word is more true to me than the devil's lies. And though the devil's lies seem to be gaining ground and holding me in captivity, and I can't find a way to get out of the prison cell, I will not disagree that God is good. So the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego starts showing up. You know, God can save us. God may not save us. I don't really care. I'm not bowing the knee. Do you follow me? I'm not worshiping the other system that I'm in. And that's poverty, that's lack, that's fear, that's relationships, that's all those things. And that's why we're pressing into going, okay, the promises of God, that's where I'm headed. That's our destiny. So I have to stay connected. So that's taking me a long time to show you a discovery I found in the book of Acts, which is why I believe that we will need to practice prayer more. Intentionally, individually, and corporately for the new thing to happen. And the basic principle of this is, if God initiates in the earth, you can follow this all the way from the book of Acts to today, he takes a company of people. It can be as few as 12, it could be 120, it could be just a place where he can create a complete DNA transfer to a group of people that can hear and receive at the same time and then multiply it. We've all had experiences with God that are so vivid and so powerful, but when we went to try to act them out or share them with others, they diminished and we lost their place because it was a window we saw into, but not something we could sustain. God always sustains something with a company of people. So that's why he had 120. He said, you guys pray for 10 days. Just stay there. I'm bringing you something. He's Holy Spirit. You'll understand when he comes. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. So that Holy Spirit coming came to 120 who had been praying for 10 days, and he comes from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Just goes and fills the entire place they're sitting. And then something wonderful happened. The sound like breaks light into multiplicity of the same sound as flames of fire and descending settled on the head of everyone. So what began as a corporate experience also became an individual experience. So no one was going, I didn't hear that. I didn't get that. Worship wasn't really that great. Why are you talking about that? I'm not there. This was when all of a sudden they were there. In fact, they all started speaking in tongues. Everyone, 120. And they all started having too much fun, way too much fun. They started acting silly and, you know, disrespectful to the, you know, whatever. They looked drunk to the point that this sound now is heard, and all of Jerusalem, which is filled with God-seeking people at that moment during the Feast of Pentecost, comes surging up to the Mount of Zion, where the upper room is, and they're observing now a phenomenon. And now Peter can step forward with the 11. Peter gets his chance to preach. He's with the 11. This is like a sound that not only came, but also clarity comes with the Holy Spirit. Whenever he breaks into the earth, he immediately brings Scripture to describe what he's doing. And Peter stands up and says, this is what Joel said, this is that and that. And all of a sudden, they go from 120 to 3,120. And all are getting baptized and all are entering in. It's just like a surge. So for the kind of shifting of that, I believe, I've always been told by the Lord, of the invasion he intends on planet Earth, will require a company of people that have been brought to the place where they can corporately receive and individually receive and move as one. And that's that like passion, that one accord. So that's kind of the mixture of where we're going, or the dream we're headed for. Back 10 years ago, I was in a very difficult time of figuring out, how in the world can you survive the religious systems that are so entrenched in the earth and in the systems of man and the mindset of man and the pride of man and all that? I'm just dying. I get something I can see, but I can't ever reproduce. I don't know where we're going with this. I'm dying under the weight of knowing God, feeling like Jeremiah. You know, Lord, you feel to me like an unfaithful spring. And so the Lord led me to just listen to the book of Acts over and over again. I thought, this is the only history we have of the church. This is the history of the church in its formation and in its initial growth. And I want to just listen. And I learned a lot of things. I learned a lot about the enemy's tactics and how he converges to suffocate. But I also learned how God seemed to introduce himself into groups of people and to keep his movement moving. And what I found was there were these three correlations between prayer and the Holy Spirit and power. And Mark, if you'll put those up, we'll start talking about that. You don't have to put the graph up. I now know you have these super duper fan. Oh, yeah. It's good. Anyway, there it is. I know. Yeah, but you blew it. You were going to do the bars, you know, you're going to show off PowerPoint. Okay, there, see? I didn't know that last time, and I was looking up and going, oh, it's the wrong PowerPoint. Okay. In the first 16 chapters of Acts, this might have ended up being my German thinking, but after I started noticing this correlation, prayer, then Holy Spirit, then power, prayer, Holy Spirit, power, prayer, Holy Spirit, power, I went and just took the English word for prayer, praying, prayers, and I went and counted them. Because I noticed that in the first 16 chapters of the book of Acts, there was a lot of praying, a lot of Holy Spirit, and a lot of power. And then in the last 12 chapters of the book of Acts, there was less praying, less Holy Spirit, and less power. It got much more dramatical, human drama, where this just seemed to be like just Holy Spirit just surging. So then I went and I thought, I'm going to count that, just see if what's the uniqueness. So in the first chapter, first 16 chapters, there's 21 mentions of prayer. Then there's, out of that, there's also in the first 16 chapters, 35 mentions of Holy Spirit. And then in the first 16 chapters, there's 44 mentions. Gosh. Turn the sound on in there, okay, for him? No. Mark is great. Okay. I'm just a joke to myself. So you can see how it grows, right? Prayer. Now, in the next 12 chapters, chapter 17 to 28, we go and it really reduces. It goes down to 4 mentions of the word prayer, 7 mentions of the word Holy Spirit, and only 6 mentions of the miracles. So even though it looks the same, if we compare the two, go ahead and pull the graph, the next one, and put them all up. Go ahead and bring them all up. You'll see that the first 16 chapters had just like a phenomenal amount of prayer, Holy Spirit, and miracles. So that led me to begin to say, wow, I think prayer may have something to do with Holy Spirit and miracles. Now, and I was experiencing that firsthand with a diminishing base of prayer and feeling the collapsing of my footing and slippage and everything because of just the lack of then the presence, the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, and then the just having no more ammunition, no more gas to keep the airplane flying. The cool, interesting thing is if you take that and you do the ratio, the ratio of prayer to the first chapter, well, that's really nice, but that wasn't what I wanted to look at. Anyway, the ratio is 5 to 1. 5 times more prayer in the first 16 chapters than the last 12 chapters. Same thing would be true with Holy Spirit. 5 to 1 ratio. And the miracles diminish so that the ratio of miracles in the first 16 chapters to the ratio of miracles in the last 12 is literally 7 to 1. So what I observed was that what happens to everyone? Now, this is the primary move of God that's ever been recorded. This is the starter. This is the same group of people. We don't change the chapter 17 through 28. It's not a different actors. It's the same cast. We're talking about the best people. And yet, in the 17 to the 28th chapter, there is unique different strategies on how they moved in response to challenges. And most of them were less prayer, which led to more captivity and more struggles. So what I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do in this new season is to activate prayer. And wherever you are in your flight pattern, to check your gauges and just practice keeping your praise so your altitude is up. Make sure that you're keeping enough power, that you've got a supply of the Spirit so that you can sustain another day of flight. Keep the prayer alive so that you're having honest communication. We're in a new season, and I'm wanting us to not say, okay, let's keep going. Because what was the old idiom or saying that the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect different results? So in my mind's, right now I'm having a real honest communication to God. I'm not responding to what I think I should do. I'm asking the Lord what he wants to do, and I'm acknowledging I have no power to do what I think I ought to do. So first, I have no power. So let's just settle that. That'd be my first conversation. You want me to do that? I can't. Now, how are you going to do that? What do you want me to do to allow you to do that? So I don't take responsibility to do what I think God's telling me, which is so foolish, but it's the fleshly response of man to try to do what we hear God telling us instead of going, God, what you're telling me to do is impossible to do, not because it's physically impossible, but because you're asking me. You know me? Me. I am nothing, no righteousness here, no power here, no strength here, no godliness here. Anything that I produce will come under the claws of religion and self-righteousness, and you don't need that. So, and because I am there, I would normally respond this way. But before I respond this way, let's dialogue about how I'm feeling and how you're feeling and what am I doing and what do I, and just invite you into my honesty of my heart, my moment. And I believe that's helping me right now to go, wow. First off, he really likes weakness. He's attracted to frailty and humanity. He actually would rather be with a bruised, broken, breached believer than a believer having success in their journey and not at that moment in any degree of confusion and question. Because that place, he actually puts a tent over. He settles over you. So I've been entertaining in my prayer, the Apostle Paul's prayer, in the last couple chapters of Corinthians, I've been boasting to him my weakness. So rather than presenting my best self, I've been presenting my real self. That's an idea, right? Instead of prayer is showing my best side, I now allow prayer to show my worst side without denying faith or his name or what he's done. And the attraction that heaven starts to come because of that honesty, while I stay in agreement with, here's those glorious promises you've made, and they're still real. They're not only real, you're able to perform them. There's no limitation. And I allow my hope to come back alive. Because we talked about this last week, and I'll close with this. Faith, hope, and love, they are sustaining attributes of life, and hope begins to dream again. But I'm not dreaming and conniving. I'm just dreaming, imagining. Imagining God doing it in a moment, turning the iniquity in a land, shifting an atmosphere, changing something, phone calls, miracles. Just you start creating a grid for God to do the supernatural without it being coupled to my natural. So that's where I believe this invasion's turning us into a company of people, yielding, waiting, believing, doing but not trying, striving, resting, yielding, trusting, and enjoying God while we fly through this storm with an expectation that there is an invasion that's about to happen, an invasion that will shift atmospheres and cities. And it won't be just evangelism as we've been creatively doing. It will be business people collectively discipling other business people in the ways of prosperity and government of God. And it won't be until 6 or 7 months into it that they'll say, how come you have such a crazy way of doing things? And you go, it's because of the Lord I love. And they'll go, well, I'd love to know that Lord. It gives you that confidence to move like that. And it'll shift into cultures, not through us confronting people with morality or sin, but confronting them with goodness in God. And it won't be something we're striving to do because we're just carrying it. Because when you learn to just live in your stuff without it affecting you, you start having the ability to change other people's stuff because you're no longer, you know, needing to get rid of it. So let's stand together. Let's stand together. Yeah, praise you, Jesus. Wow, thank you. You've been so patient. We'll be done in 5 minutes. You've been so patient. Holy Spirit, come. We worship you. First, I believe the Lord would just have us align ourselves in some in points of contact. You know, tap the instrument panel, make sure it's working. See if that praise needle gets going, not stuck. You know, tap the power and see if to make sure there is fuel in the tank. You know, just kind of tap some things. And you know, the journey that we enter into is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ invites us to journey with him. He beckons us through words, through circumstances, through the calling of himself to us to him. And we have to respond. It's a believe on the Lord that he was raised from the dead and confess him with our mouth as Lord. And I want to make sure that we've all had that opportunity to do that, that we've all heard that invitation. To become a believer is initiated with, yeah, I believe you did this for me, and this is what I need. You did what I cannot do. You can be what I cannot be. And then I confess you as my hope and my trust. And so I want to lead us in that prayer. If anybody here has never prayed that prayer, just hold up your hand because we want to make sure you get to be a part of that prayer. Okay, that's your affirmation, your commitment. Then we want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Like the book of Acts that has been now given to the body. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues, you can be and you shall be. It's just as simple as receiving Jesus. He is wonderful. And we'll have ministers up front to help you pray through this afterwards. Then we want to ask God as we've been receiving the new operating systems, let's ask him to reactivate praise and power and prayer and presence and promise and purity. Let's just get those back alive so we can practice them as we go home. Is that good? Yeah. And then we're going to flow into prayer on Wednesday. So, Heavenly Father, come. Help us, Holy Spirit. Say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent Jesus Christ to become a man, to live a sinless life, and die for my sins. And that you raised him from the dead. And I now call you Lord. Jesus, you are my Lord. Forgive my sins. Deliver me. Heal me. Make me whole. Make me the person you want me to be. I can't do it myself. Father, I ask you now to release your promise of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking in other tongues. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Give me my prayer language to pray from my spirit when I don't know what to pray for, to sing from my spirit when I don't know how to sing. I now receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the refilling of the Holy Spirit, complete filling of the Holy Spirit, now in Jesus' name. Now begin to praise him. Ashadababa, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. Right now you're praising him for eternal life and the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life victorious. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Now, as a token back to him, release your prayer language and pray in other tongues. Shada boreto rababarata, undara babarara boroboroto, shibara lambrote de labarabare de boroto rababache, yanda lambrota de lemota. Receive, receive, receive. We praise you. We praise you. Now keep your praise going and tell God five wonderful things about him. Tell him five wonderful things. Tell him he's wonderful, he's strong, he's victorious. Jesus is Lord, he's deliverer, he's redeemer. Praise him. He is sustains our journey. He takes us to our destiny. He completes what he promised. He is faithful. He is good. He is longing, loving, kind, and gentle, and generous. Praise, praise. You feel the atmosphere. You go up, you go up, you go up, you go up, you go up. Now hold the altitude. Sha-ba-ba-ba-ba. And now breathe and receive the power. Holy Spirit, power. Holy Spirit, power. Communicate the power according to the riches of your glory. Fill our tanks. full supply. This is more than just a baptism. This is like the supply. This make sure the tanks are filled. Fill my tank up, Daddy. Shaboda ba 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 ba. Receive, 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 receive. Oh ba 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 ba. More Holy Spirit, more. Fill me up, 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 fill me up. He pours water upon him who's thirsty and floods on the dry ground. All you need is to be thirsty and dry. Allah, more, 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 more. Holy Spirit, fill me up. More power. More power, more power.
More of you, love.
Yes, Lord. Now pray. Daddy, I love you. And I'm walking with you this year. And I'm not going to... By your grace, I'll make it to the other side. I'll fly through the storm until it dissipates around me. Daddy, I'm going after you. You're my Lord, my Savior. Where can I go? Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. I hear your word, your spoken word over me. You just start praying. You just start having a conversation. You just start walking into the realm of God with honest communication, yielding yourself, and acknowledge right now his presence. I acknowledge your presence. I acknowledge your presence. I acknowledge your presence. I acknowledge your presence. You will never leave me nor forsake me. You are always with me. I acknowledge your presence. Righteousness, peace, joy, fill my being. Come on. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Let the rightness of God take over. Peace, peace, the safety, security. Fill your being, fill your being, fill your being. It's all right. You're safe. It's all right. You're safe here. It's all right. You're safe. You're safe. And joy. Oh, joy, 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 joy. Yeah, joy, strength. Good. It's happy. It's delightful. Yeah, pull it in. Pull it in. We only got two more gauges to tap. Just tap the gauge of promise. 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 Let your promises come back into your vocabulary. Bring your confession of hope into the presence of this God. God, I have a future because you spoke words over me. I have a future because you promised me by your word, having begun the work, you would finish it. I thank you for this scripture and these promises you made over me to me. They are my eternity. They are my eternity. They are my roadmap. They are my direction. They are my compass. This is where I'm headed. I'm headed to a city whose God is builder and a maker, whose foundation is Jesus Christ, who I'm a living stone created for him to dwell in. Sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Whoa. Again, as best you can, become aware. Praise. Become aware that it's staying alive. Power. Holy Spirit supplied. Prayer. Your communication. Staying in conversation. Presence. The atmosphere of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom. Be aware of right now. Promise. Those things continue to stay vibrant and alive as a roadmap. And now just lean into all of it. Single-mindedness. Here we go. Purity. Lord God, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I can't earn it. I can't work it up. But I'm going this direction. One heart. One heart. All the way into the future that you ordained. All the way. Let's go, Daddy. Let's run. Let's run, Dad. Let's run. Let's fly this thing. Let's go through this storm. Let's get to the wedding. Let's go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Whoa. Whoa. Yes, God. Yeah. Fly.
Lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk.
Let the ministry team, if you can come on up. Anyone who, at any point of these prayers, you need a connecting point of agreement. You're having trouble speaking in other tongues. You're not sure of your salvation. You don't know how to process the situation you're in. You need a healing. You need a miracle. going to have ministers up here to pray for you. We love you. You are God's apple of his eye. You are his bride. You are his royal beauty. You are a bride made for wedding, and you're on your way. So God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Join us in prayer on Wednesday.